while being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine Unlock and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
When you grow up, live it like a good boy ought to. And your mama takes a shine at the bell sun. Something different. All the girls are seem to like you. Cause you're handsome, like a dog.
We're back at the races, back to Churchill Downs Derby coverage, 2 weeks, and we broke our traditional start with Nick Luck actually kicking off the coverage from England, but the Gronkowski news and Mendelsohn's status moving toward his arrival here and his involvement, and of course Royal Baby. It's a boy and it's 8 pounds. And Darren Rogers, though, traditionally has kicked us off with the invocation, and back again. And Darren, as always, thrilled to be here. Always a great 2 weeks.
Good morning, Steve, and welcome back to Churchill Downs. Yes, 12 days out, and we always say we know it's close when Steve Bick arrives. So 12 days out, and wish the weather was a little better today. But the good news is I've been looking. You know, you can't trust, 48-hour weather forecasts much in this town. But you can look at the temperatures. And I will say that starting on, looks like on Thursday, we've got a pretty good run here through Derby. Thursday it'll be sunny and 65, opening night sunny and 67, and they've got temperatures, looking at Tuesday of Derby week, sunny and 81.
Wow.
They have 80 degrees on Oaks Day and then 70 degrees on Derby Day.
Perfect.
So hopefully, knock on wood, we get some good weather to go with this tremendous field that we have assembling for Kentucky Derby 144.
A couple of short strokes, obviously, when it comes to the end of this field. And mm-hmm. given this Gronkowski conversation, and you and I did along the way, particularly when there was the weekends of the Derby future wager, discussed the carve-outs, the Japanese road to the Derby, the European road to the Derby, and Mendelsohn won his way in straightforward on the traditional route with the UAE Derby. But what has been the reaction? Because this was clearly a horse, and I shouldn't talk as if he's not coming, but this is clearly a horse that is a distinct cut below, and particularly when you're looking at those horses that are 21 through whatever, horses that would be a better, it might not be better for publicity, it might not be better for the long-term concept of what CDI is trying to do with the race, But, I mean, are certainly horses that deserve, quote-unquote, to be in the race ahead of a horse like this. What has been the feedback that you've received?
Well, as we talked about on your show a couple of weeks ago, the path was laid out, and it's an entirely different landscape for racing overseas with the way their racing year works. You know, typically they're competing from April through October, maybe the early parts of November, and they shut down during the wintertime. The European road to the Derby was to provide a path. And I don't think it can be, you know, let's take Gronkowski out of the conversation. Mendelssohn's preparation for the UA Derby and the creation of this European road to the Kentucky Derby was instrumental for his performance in the UAE Derby. He had a race under his belt. It's a path. Gronkowski, while you may look at it as a cut below, they probably said the same thing in 1971 with Canonero. You know, all I'm saying is he's won four in a row over a synthetic surface, and he deserves a shot, and it's part of that international intrigue.
Certainly Japan, we understand what kind of handle numbers with Japan only allowing, is it 8 races a year from outside Japan for people to bet on?
I think those rules have actually changed now, Steve, where it's a much more larger number, but you have to have a Japanese horse competing in those races. Yes.
There you go. And so we understand the need, or not the need, but the interest in having a horse, let's say, from Japan. And, you know, Lanny's participation was actually a lot of fun. And you know, to be fair, he was scoffed at coming into Derby to a degree and maligned a little bit. And all he did was participate in all 3 Triple Crown events and work his way, you know, into a chart in the Belmont. So Lanny actually acquitted himself famously. So you don't know, I suppose. I mean, this is a horse. I mean, Mendelssohn, at least we have a better handle on from his trip here for Breeders' Cup, and granted that was grass, but then between the UAE Derby performance and the 2-year-old resume, a horse that whose bona fides you wouldn't question. But I support and understand the concept, and for the long term interest of the race and the game, it's probably very good.
And it's global growth,
yeah,
as well.
Exactly.
And it provides avenues for sponsors as well. I mean, the host tracks overseas, along with Japan as well, got behind these Road to the Derby races, where they had days of the races where they're singing My Old Kentucky Home, serving mint juleps. It was a great traditional fanfare leading up to the races in addition to that. So we're very pleased with how it's shaped up. And, you know, it became competitive. Look, Mendelssohn had the invite before he was running in the UAE Derby.
Right.
Gronkowski decided to stay at home and collect those points in order to get the trip. For a chance to, look, Phoenix Thoroughbreds is in the business of making stallions, much like Coolmore. They wanted to try the horse on dirt. They want to aim in the Kentucky Derby. We provided a path, and they're going to be given that chance. Now, we'll find out in the next 24 hours how serious of an injury it is. Or setback, rather, I should say.
Yeah, we're keeping it generic specific.
Yeah.
Let's talk about everything else, and we'll get into the field in a minute. Mm-hmm. But bring everybody. I promised this the other day when Matt Hegarty sent the links to the Derby website with the considerable changes. Seems like every year, Darren, we come and there's widespread construction and changes and expansion, and it's almost like a home center commercial. Never stop improving, because there's always something going on here to talk about in terms of the plant.
There always is. And you know, here at 700 Central Avenue, we've completed roughly $70 million worth of improvement since last year's Derby. We have the starting gate suites at the top of the stretch. And then the biggest overhaul that people will notice when they come here is the parking lot and transportation center that we've, you know, a lot of those properties that used to surround Churchill Downs. We used to call them the one-off homes. That here we were able to acquire those early last year, and now we have a cohesive parking plan and repaved parking lots. The transportation center is going to be tremendous because we're going to be able to get people in and out of here on Derby Day much easier. For those that have gone to Disneyland or a Disney World in the past, you park in a giant off-site, you know, parking lot. You get on the shuttle bus and they drop you off at the main gate. When you see the new paddock gate at Churchill Downs, it's absolutely fabulous. We've also, right behind the paddock and the racing office, we've extended the footprint for, it's about 100,000 extra square feet within the facility for the general admission patrons to get around easier on Derby Day, get in through the gates. The transport, the buses that you'll have coming in here, I believe it's three times the number of buses that we've had in the past. Central Avenue will be entirely closed off, so a straight shot from, depending on which day you're coming. Let me throw out a website out there. If you are coming to Churchill Downs anytime on Derby Week, that's another big change. These restrictions used to be in place for just Oaks and Derby Day. They will be out here entirely on Derby Week. Go to KentuckyDerbyParking.com. KentuckyDerbyParking.com. There's a video on there that will show you the different routes, some of the different changes. It's an easy-to-understand two-minute video. You click a couple of icons as to what day you're arriving. It'll tell you where you're going, where you're going to park. Everything's going to be prepaid. Determined in advance, the parking that you're doing here. So if you have a pass to either park on site or a pass to park at the, for example, on Thurby Oaks and Derby, parking will be at the Kentucky Exposition Center. You're taking photos over here. I assume you got a really good one.
No,
no,
no. I was laughing at Thurby Oaks Derby.
Oh, yeah, Thurby Oaks and Derby. I'm telling you, Thurby is
like a haiku.
Huge. Thurby is huge now.
Thurby's gotten ridiculous.
The good news is we'll have the traffic plans in place for Thurby. I mean, it got to be
that's
that
big. That's a good
big.
Point. It's almost like a practice. That's a great point.
It really is. Yeah. So, anyway, you'll be parking at the Kentucky Exposition Center on Thurby Oaks and Derby. Parking, you can park in the neighborhood still if you've always parked in the neighborhood. Nothing changes there. If you don't have a parking pass prepaid at the Expo Center, you can park at Papa John's Cardinal Stadium, but you're going to park and walk. No shuttles from Papa John's on Thurby.
Stress that, because people are going to be surprised. The lots across from Papa John's, along the train track.
Yeah, it's the green lot.
All of those lots, you'll have to walk across the footbridge.
Yep.
To up
Central. Yeah, it's a quarter-mile walk.
Yeah, it's a 15-minute walk at tops.
Whenever we have, racing here or something, and we go over to a U of L football game.
So you walk over, yeah.
Literally park at gate five and make the short walk. It's fine. But, yeah, I believe parking on Oaks and Derby in that Papa John's is $20. But, again, everything's prepaid. So if you've got a pass, you're probably parking at the Kentucky Expo Center, or you're parking here on site. There's, you know, the horsemen, the jockeys, the trainers, some VIPs, the sponsors. They'll have parking here on site.
Well, and the Expo Center, for those of you that, you know, you've driven by it across from the airport, the huge fairgrounds, which has never really been, has it been utilized before? I don't think
so. No, in fact, you know, it has for Oaks and Derby parking. It was an area in the past where people paid $15, $20 or whatever to go park over there
okay. And
take a shuttle over in addition to Papa John's. But all of our scheduling conflict, I think next year you'll probably see all the parking over there at Kentucky Expo Center all week possibly. So, but it's an easy jaunt nearby. And, if you're coming here opening night, Tuesday or Wednesday, you'll park at Papa John's free of charge, and then we have shuttles to take you to and from the track right over here at the. Now, also, you're going to be wanded and go through the same security measures all throughout Derby Week as well. That's another change. But again, go to KentuckyDerbyParking.com, KentuckyDerbyParking.com, before you make your trip out here, because anytime you have change, people get worried. What do I do? We have a number of frequently asked questions on there, and it's great.
I'm going to send the link out, and got a question actually.
Text message. I heard it dinging.
You did, and Adam Koenig, the state from the state legislature. Mm-hmm. How much increased bus coverage and shuttle coverage is there?
I believe three times as many.
Three times as many buses
that are going to be covered.
There you go, Adam.
So we're going to get people in and out of here. That's the key. Get them in and out. That's all the experiences that we've made here at Churchill Downs. And again, we've tried to touch all the different customer bases. If you look in the last, since about 2010, we've just done so many improvements around here, from the garden terrace to adding the big board to building the owner's winner circle suites, to expanding the plaza area and footprint for the general public. We added the mansion. We've done so. We now have the new starting gates. We redid the entire second house of the second floor of the clubhouse, redid the turf club, redid the stakes room. All of these amenities touching different customer bases, and trying to make it an easier day when you have 170,000 people out here. The number of restrooms that we've added, the mutual lines, et cetera, and getting people in and out of here quickly is very important to us.
Well, I'm sending it out, and all the information that you could possibly want is at the...
Type in the right website, KentuckyDerbyParking.com.
Well, it's interesting. That's what I had at first, but it switched over to KentuckyDerby.com/visit/visit blah, 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 blah.
Exactly.
But it's still KentuckyDerby.com will get you there as parking.com will get you there as well. Interesting.
Yep.
But it's funny. The link actually
changed
itself. That's pretty funny.
But we try to make it easy for somebody to remember. So KentuckyDerbyParking.com.
There we go. All right. On to the other and considerably more interesting and important conversation. It's amazing, Darren, because I know you tune in when you can, and it's unbelievable how this crop and this classic season morphed from ho-hum and when is somebody going to emerge to then a series of performances that had people agog. I mean, it's amazing how... I mean, and there's no bad derbies, as we always say, but it's unbelievable how in 6-7 weeks this went from 0 to 60. It was amazing.
It really did, and you know, we always had the top prospects and good magic and Boltoro and
but then
the emergence of the Audibles, the Magnum Moons, the Justifies. Vino Rosso in the Woodman. These are fast horses right now. This is an absolutely tremendous betting race. When's the last time? I mean, what's Good Magic going to go off at? 10-1, 12-1, maybe.
No, I don't think that high. I think he'll become a bit of a mojo horse as we get.
Okay.
But he's.
But when's the last time you saw a 2-year-old champion who won the Bluegrass go off at odds that high? It's kind of my point.
That's fair.
You know what
that's
I mean?
Fair.
Just
that's,
to
no,
win
certainly.
A significant race at age 3, the value for horse players, depending on who you favor, I think it's going to be absolutely outstanding. Mendelsohn. How about Mendelsohn?
We just had Nick Luck, and Nick had a lot of. Yeah, I thought he had a lot of positive vibe to report from Ballydoyle. He was there last week and taped a bunch of features for NBC for both Royal Ascot and for Derby. And Nick has got a pretty good finger on the pulse, and I sensed a positive impression from him.
He's probably a dirt horse that's been running on turf. You know.
If that's the case, then
right?
Then everybody who believes in him is and has got you know, something to be excited about. And what makes this group of horses that have people excited particularly compelling is just this element, having to take a shortish price on Mendelsohn doing something that people say, well, the first one that wins doing that track will beat me, and then I'll from this point on, then I'll consider them more. I personally, that's, to me, it's a little silly.
Yeah.
Same thing with the Magnum Moon and Justify. The first horse that wins that started two that beats me. Okay, so I guess, and
that's fair too. I mean, look,
those are your top three choices.
Yeah,
though.
You want to handicap that way? That's fine. That's trend capping. I'm looking at the animals themselves, and you know, if you took the Derby, if you lined a couple of these horses in another race that didn't have the phrase Kentucky Derby next to it, would you apply those same principles? And I just don't think you would. I think, you know, this is a horse that clearly was, you know, I've been frustrated by the handicappers that, rightfully so, by the way, have talked about the speed favoring track in Dubai at Maidan on Dubai World Cup night. I do believe that 100%.
No doubt.
And I do believe Mendelsohn probably benefited from that as well. But to win by 18.5 lengths in the fashion that he did, he's no slouch.
No.
He's no slouch. He did. No. It, to me, it's preposterous to just randomly toss because he's traveling, you know, 7,500 miles from, you know, Dubai or Ireland or whatever the distance ends up.
Both.
Everywhere else around the world, people hop on planes and win major races. Why can't you do that coming over here to America? And I think it has to be the right horse, and this might be it. Again, you know, I'm a big, big fan of Justify. These horses are going to have to run the race of their life against some elite competition. This field, there's future grade one winners down the road here. A lot of them.
There's no doubt.
Again, very enticing and intriguing crop.
When was the last time we had, let's see, well, you've got the two undefeateds. I almost said three, but Audible got beat. Audible got beaten in his debut, Statebreds, and in fact that could end up being a fabulous question. He was third actually in his in his debut, going 6.5 at Belmont in September. We should talk, and Smoking Platinum beat him. To have
a couple unbeaten horses in the
like
Derby
this,
in the same year. I mean, you had Dortmund and Materiality in 2015. They finished third and sixth, respectively.
And Materiality was buried inside in the three hole and didn't have the greatest start.
Barbaro and Showing Up were both unbeaten.
Showing Up was unbeaten coming into the Derby?
Yep, three wins and three starts.
How about that?
Yep, and he finished sixth that year. China Visit and Trippy in 2000, they were both unbeaten. And then going back to the 60s. 1963, Candy Spots and No Robbery were both unbeaten, with multiple horses being unbeaten in the same year. So there's the answer.
Very nice. The last 50 years of unbeatens coming together in the Derby, and of
Excuse
course
me.
Not at all the two of them, of course, you know, having the unique aspect of not having raced at two. Mm-hmm. beyond those, and beyond Good Magic, it feels like there's a whole bunch of horses that are going to end up being, as we say in fantasy baseball and fantasy sports parlance, post hype. Mm-hmm. And Bolt Doro being the most glaring post-hype horse, because not that people have run the other way, but I think he's just there's just been horses that have leapfrogged him in the awareness factor and are being overly critical of the loss in the Santa Anita Derby, and then being not appreciating what he did coming back against McKenzie off of an extended layoff and turning in an outstanding performance. Okay, yeah, he got put up. He probably shouldn't have been put up, but he was. Doesn't matter. Think about the performance. Don't think about, you know, the what happened with the steward stand.
No, look, it's going to be his third race off a layoff. I mean,
good magic too.
You know, exactly. Maybe people are making too much out of Castellano, you know, hopping off. I mean, I've wondered it myself. Castellano hops off, but he's
exactly a hop off.
But yeah, exactly.
It's different.
Exactly.
It's got a big asterisk on it when it involves a guy that he rides for year in, year out, and has dozens of stake winners and potential stake winners that he has. If Todd calls Mike Lakow and says you're riding one of ours and it's not even a debate.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Period.
And it could be. It could also be. I'll just throw it out there. It could be that Castellano says, "Look, I can't beat Justify with this horse. Bolt de Oro is not going to beat Justify. Justify is a beast. Let's take the take a shot and ride Audible." I don't know, but either way, he is. I don't know if you and I were talking about this earlier in the week, but I was having a similar conversation. Bolt de Oro might be the forgotten horse among the big group, the big guns, where he ends up going off at 10-12-1.
And I'm anxious for him to get here. That's one element of this too.
It's here Monday.
He'll be in Monday, so we'll see several days of gallops from him. And same thing with the Todd horses coming
today.
They're coming this Monday today.
They come today. They get here at 1:00. They'll van over from the airport, get to the barn 40 at about 1:30.
Chad showed up, of course, yesterday. My boy Jack, we should talk about for one second. Then I got I tell you what, people, it hadn't occurred to me, and I don't know why I don't take advantage of this more often. But if anybody's got questions about Derby, feel free to shoot me. And I've got about four that I'll get to next, Darren. But people very wisely using the opportunity to ask you some questions.
You mentioned my boy Jack.
My boy Jack, who's over at Keeneland as well, and
got here.
Got
over
here.
The weekend.
He did. Okay.
Yep.
And yesterday's suspension of Kent DeSormo, we're going to have to. Yeah, we're going to wait and see. I brought that up earlier, and we'll see how that affects. Let me get a couple of these questions in, Darren, and I already took care of one. Somebody was asking about the undercard nominations, and I gave them the link to Equibase.
It's going to be good.
When are you going to start to put the probables on the daily report?
I believe in today's notes we may have our first rundown of
possible probables.
Horses.
But very good.
I've got a list that I've been – I mean, first of all, the Pat Day Mile is going
to be absolutely
tremendous.
And frankly – here's what's going to happen. There's going to be a 13-horse field probably, and everybody's going to be looking for everything, and Chad Brown will win a 3-2 with Mask. That's what's going to happen in the Pathé Mile. So don't get all don't be. I'm sorry. I don't mean to quash anybody's
hopes. We're
marking
it down now. Mask wins
3-2.
Pathé Mile. Got it.
Maybe not. I can see that happening. Wes is asking about the dollar increments. Still $1 superfectas?
Still going to be $1 superfectas. No. Well, hold on. Yeah,
on
$1. Yeah, no. $1 superfectas on Oaks and Derby Day. Yes.
Yeah, and so that doesn't change.
Yep, doesn't change.
The schedule for people to come in to watch the morning works. Dawn's
Tuesday,
at the Down.
Yep, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of Derby Week. Dawn at the Downs. People can park in the neighborhood if you don't have a ticket. It's free of charge. You come walk in through the gates, 6:30 to 8:30 in the morning. They'll be serving, coffee, donuts, other breakfast items for sale down on the bricks on the ground floor. Of course, you want the buffet. Go to KentuckyDerby.com, click on tickets. You can buy Dawn at the Downs tickets for up in Millionaire's Row. The Oaks and Derby horses. 7:30 to 7:45, and they are streaming a show. If you haven't watched it yet, they're doing a show basically 1 hour long from 7 to 8 a.m. Joe Kristofek, Ed DeRosa, James Scully, and Brandon Staubel. And I believe Gary Young gets to town
Friday.
On Friday. Gary will also chime in on that telecast as well.
And Gary, of course, OBS starts tomorrow.
And you can watch those streams, by the way. Go to the Kentucky Derby Facebook page.
Yep.
You can go to the Kentucky Derby on Twitter, and then also on KentuckyDerby.com. I believe if you just type in KentuckyDerby.com/works, it takes you directly to it.
Trucker Kurt is asking about the Tuesday, Wednesday. You can buy tickets.
You need him to pull into town. He needs to be wheeling by. Come on by. Yeah, go ahead. Buy tickets.
If you want to buy tickets to be upstairs, you can for the full effect. But if you can just come in free.
Free of charge, ground floor.
No
absolutely.
Problem.
Yep.
So don't worry about it. And he's asking about cameras. Of course you can take
as absolutely.
Many pictures as you want.
Absolutely.
Don't bring a film crew, but
they'll let you come on in.
Absolutely. All right. And a few more. Actually, my man Ray has got a fascinating question. And this may require some research.
Hopefully I can answer.
Who's the last Derby horse of note that came to Churchill having only run at one track up to that point in his career?
I will have to research that. Hold on. I want to know who he's talking about. I'm trying to think of who he's talking about.
He's not asking like a trivia question. I think Ray's just wondering.
Oh, I thought we had somebody
anybody,
in this field.
No. Justify is who we're talking about.
Oh, Justify.
With the three Santa Anita performances.
I will have to do a little I'll tell you what. I will do research on that at some point today. We'll get you the information for the show tomorrow.
That is a great question. And of course, he had originally thought maybe he would go to Sunland, then maybe he was going to go to Oaklawn, but this will be his first race at a racetrack other than Santa Anita. Yep. I will say this about him, because some people were wondering about it. He is not a horse that looks to be problematic for shipping. I don't know. I wouldn't put him in the American Pharoah camp in terms of being like a placid, like a collie. But I can tell you, that having seen him, I was there for the San Felipe week. I was there for Santa Anita Derby week. He is a placid horse. He goes to the paddock. He's got his nose down on the ground. They put the saddle on him. His head comes up a little bit. He goes to the walking ring. He goes around. Jock gets on him, and he wakes up. And so I think he's probably going to be an easy shipper. And I don't think that if people are wondering, well, how's he going to ship? He seems to have the kind of makeup that will lend itself fine to making the trip.
I've had a conversation with Bob about that subject, and he has talked about how he has a very good mind. It's not a concern of Bob's whatsoever.
I think I had an email, and you know what? You might as well address this. The PP situation and the conflict, the ongoing difficulties between the Daily Racing Form and Churchill Downs Incorporated. Let people know how. I mean, they can't buy DRF on site.
No, not on site. You can buy them in the liquor stores around town. I know Wagner sells them right across the street. We have a product that we can offer here at $5 in a book that we believe. You know, the unexpected raising of prices. We decided to offer our content. And by the way, you can get our content at Churchill Downs for free at BrizNet throughout the racing meets. They've offered them up for free for big races throughout the spring. The likely will be offering them up once again throughout the entire spring meet. And we like providing that information to our fans at a low cost.
Now, and I will connect with Mandy Minger of the Daily Racing Forum to find out about the Churchill PPs in what editions. The complaint has been that they haven't the CDI.
I will say this: last year, in the National Simulcast edition, Stephen Foster Day with the world's top ranked horse in Gunrunner, there were not past performances for Churchill Downs. I don't know why that was. You'd have to ask her that.
Well, I will, and we'd love to get this log jam behind everybody. But I will find out.
Well, again, we're offering a very low-priced and competitive product that we like to deliver to our fans free of charge.
I appreciate that. I hear you. And of course, next week we will get Davis's Derby pick.
He'll be here on Thurby. Yeah, he's 12 now. You better watch it. You have a 7-second delay
because we don't need one.
He's yeah, that's right. It's satellite radio.
Exactly. You can do whatever you want.
I don't know what's going to come out of this kid's mouth now. So, he's, you know, we've joked with you know, some friends. You know, it's rough. You know, the first you know age 2 to 4, boy, it's, you know, they call it the terrible twos. It's really the threes. But anyway, since 4, it's been this massive upward trajectory where it's just, oh man, the joy these children bring. He's now 12. He's on the other side of the mountain. He's starting to go downhill. I'm waiting for the first mumble of something under his breath.
I love this.
But anyway, he's in middle school now, and he will be joining Dad at Thurby, and he's a good handicapper.
Oh, he had Orb. He gave us Orb.
He gave Orb. He gave you Nyquist. He gave you American Pharoah. I think he was off last year. I'm trying to think who he picked, but he didn't have the winner last year.
No.
He's good.
He's got a very good record.
Daddy's a little degenerate.
A couple of thoughts before we wrap, Darren. You know, we talked about the major players. Mm-hmm. There's a big group of horses that have performed ably and are you know, sort of that middle group that are kind of hard to put a handle on. And you know, we know Flame Away and mm-hmm. Quip have certainly acquitted themselves nicely, you know, week after week, the prep after prep. You've got the Hofbergs that kind of came on the scene late, Lone mm-hmm. Sailor, who emerged with that. But in fact, they both, with second-place finishes, had kind of jump in at the quarter pole additions to the field. I suppose Enticed might be a little post hype too, after winning
another
the Gotham.
Another forgotten horse, yep. Noble Indy.
Noble Indy has just been out of sight, out of mind.
Yep.
I think that's the issue. That middle group of horses. Free Drop Billy, absolutely. Who, you know, people are saying, well, he wouldn't have been, you know, if Sporting Chance doesn't come careening in front of him, he wasn't going to be any better than fourth anyway.
Yep.
Some people, I think, have gotten frustrated with him. But again,
I have been one of those.
Yeah, you were on him.
He was, you know, heading into the year, he was within my top five prospects of that I was most intrigued by. Maybe he's just getting good now. I don't know. But look, all these horses that you just mentioned, very nice horses. They are going to have to improve considerably to beat some of the elite ones in this cast. Yeah. And by the way, I would love to own each and every one of them. I just think they're a tad cut below against a really, really good
top
group
end.
This year.
Yeah, top end.
Top end is really salty.
You also have, assuming Gronkowski does run, you do have a group of three horses, it seems, that are feel really up against it when it comes to Promises Fulfilled, Firenze Fire, and Gronkowski.
Yeah, and but Promises Fulfilled will definitely dictate the pace. You know, I mean, I think he's going to go out there and ensure a pace. And we, you know, we were asked about, you know, the last 5 years. This will be the sixth year that we've done the Derby point system. We've had a favorite win each of the last 5 years. There's a little bit of a myth out there that the pace has changed because we're not, you know, you don't have the sprinters in there, etc. Two of the last 5 years, we've had two of the 9 fastest half miles in Derby history. So I don't think this year's pace will be less significant with the Promises Fulfilled. I think has one way to go. He's going to go to the front, and I think he's going to ensure a swift pace. There are others that are going to go in there. I don't think Justify and Mendelssohn are need the lead types. I think they, you know, Justify, for example, fell into the lead last time in the Santa Anita Derby and just kept going. But and I think the same way with Mendelssohn, the way he was running. I think they can sit just off it. But I do think it'll be a quick pace in this year's Derby. And
there's that whole group of horses that all seem to have the same running style, which, mm-hmm. which is just off. You know, I've got a method. I do speed, SPD mm-hmm. for horses that have to have the lead. I put on / near, then just off and closer. Those are my, mm-hmm. you know, obviously the Briz program has, sure. you know, has similar. Familiar marks,
yep.
but there are a preponderance of horses that are feel like they're going to want to get position somewhere, you know, within, well, within range of the, you know, of the leaders, as it were. And that portion tells you, particularly into the first turn, there may be some jostling early to gain that position, which typically does juice the pace up, even if it doesn't look like there's horses that are need the lead types.
Yeah, and the post position draw, which, by the way, we've moved it up 24 hours to get the information in the hands of the handicappers beforehand. Also, I believe, speaking of the information, and I'm going to try and get the link to you directly, but I believe if you go to KentuckyDerby.com and either click on the store, but you will be able to have official Kentucky Derby programs FedExed or sent via UPS to your doorsteps on Derby Day in advance. That's part of the benefits of moving up the draw 24 hours. So Oaks will be on Monday at 11. The Derby will be on Tuesday at 11. And this post-position draw is going to be very significant based on the running styles that you were just talking about, Steve. I mean, it's the one thing about Justify. I sure want him to be on the middle to the second half of the field than to be stuck on the inside of horses. A big, you know, big lumbering colt like that and with that big stride, I'd like to see him on the outside of horses. So I think this draw is going to be fascinating a week from tomorrow.
Well, we'll be there, I'm sure, but we'll probably, I'm going to guess that Mike and Jude, that we'll do a combined
yes,
thing again. So we'll go, and it'll be in the same place and
yep.
over in the
Aristides Lounge.
In the Aristides Lounge, which is on the second floor. You take the escalator up and right there at the first landing across from the New Silks.
Champions.
It is funny to hear people. It's so funny. When I came in this morning and I parked.
I know what you're going to talk about. Go ahead.
About people describing places where so-and-so used to be, where Silks used to be.
The red floor, the green floor, the old president's rooftop.
Yep.
It's just it's funny, the names. And you know, now we have we're going to have to get used to it. So all the different parking lots here, they're all going to be colored, and they follow the silks of the jockeys. So, for example, we have the red lot, the green lot, the yellow lot, etc. All the parking lots have changed here at Churchill Downs. Each of the entrance gates have now changed. The old gate 5 to get into the barn area, it's simply just known as the stable gate. The old gate 10 off of Longfield is now known as the clubhouse entry. Right out front, we no longer have gate 17 and gate 1. Those have merged into this massive, it's now the paddock gate. The infield gate, which was formerly gate 3, it's now known as the infield gate. So anyway, yeah, it's everybody refers to things as they've seen it here for the past 50 years. Old names, it's quite funny.
Well, Darren, a roaring start, and plenty more questions will come up, and I will check with you each and every time. And we look forward to all the elements that come together to make this not just the most exciting 2 minutes in sports, but the for me, the most wonderful 2 weeks of broadcasting.
It is. And we're thrilled to have you here and love the service that you provide all the fans. I know everybody tunes in for the great interviews, and excluding this one, of the information that you're able to provide those horse players. I know it's invaluable. I love listening myself. So on behalf of your listeners, thank you for all that you do. One day I hope you're properly recognized with a trophy in the end of January, because if there's anyone that deserves it, it's you for all the work that you do 5 days a week, pal.
Thank you. Very
kind.
All right? Very kind.
All right, buddy.
Darren Rogers with the kick off the invocation, as we say each and every year. And next week, next Thursday, Davis Rogers back with you, and we'll get an update on his ball playing and his college plans, which I'm sure he's starting to make some notes.
He's wanting to go to U of L. Number one, he's a big Cards fan, but. He's a hot. He's got a hell of a ROI as a handicapper. So tune
in. I love it. We're going to stay right here. And 90 minutes in, 90 to go. Johnny D is going to join us next. And I'm going to push back a little bit. We've got visits as well with Jose Corrales off the Charlestown Classic. I guess it's an upset. It's Seven Horse Field, and it absolutely looked, as we discussed with Jim Dunleavy on Friday, it absolutely looked like a tricky group, and a very nice performance from Something Awesome. And here's another Adina product that I suppose a lot like Shaman Ghost. They're kind of emerging, and they're going to look at the Pimlico Special next for Something Awesome. Looking forward, actually, to a visit with Jose Corrales, who has taken on the Adina horses and does obviously a very good job. We're also going to talk to Scooter Dickey. We'll talk to Scooter at the top of the hour, and looking forward to Scooter as well. An amazing job with One Go, All Go. I said we're going to stay here, and we might as well. And Johnny D, a couple of weeks out from Derby, and we check in with Johnny. Good morning.
Morning, Stevie. Time to break some eggs.
Are you in that mode? Are you ready?
Well, I mean, all the sausage isn't made yet, but we've got the ingredients.
Before we talk about the race, let's get a couple of Express Bet news and notes, because this is always a good week for us and a chance to get out ahead of it. We will have the Express Bet Kentucky Derby Wagering Guide, first of the Crown Series, of course, coming out on Friday, typically a little after lunch. Everybody can look forward to the betting guide.
Yes, and I think it's going to be another great addition. If you're familiar with the guide, it's roughly 16 pages of information, chock full of Derby information, stats and trends, the kind of stuff that you like to use in your handicapping. Plus, we have the experts and the expert opinions. And even if you don't want to follow their suggested $100 wagering strategies, you certainly will get a great explanation of the race, main contenders, price plays. And I think once you dig through the guide, you'll really feel ready to attack the Kentucky Derby. The guide is free. It is at expressbet.com. And, of course, one of our leading experts is Mr. Steve Bick himself.
Well, I'm trying to finalize my thoughts. And, you have to, at least I have to anyway. I have stuck with whatever horse I've given out in the guide as a selection, and, turn it in on Wednesday. So I've got another 48 hours after today to make a determination. And, we can do updates and things that can change.
Well,
but I haven't wavered from my top pick in the years I've done this.
You stand by your man. By your man. Whoever you pick, you stand by him. We should mention the updates. There are daily updates. The guide's ready this Friday, as Steve mentioned earlier. And then we do daily updates each day during the week where the experts, sometimes it's the experts, sometimes it's a weather report after the post position draw. Jeremy Plonk usually submits something covering the draw. I'll come in later in the week with a suggested superfecta strategy for the race. So each day we have updates to the guide. And then finally Thursday before the Derby, we come out with a revised guide edition, which has all the updated information. And the experts who maybe had a horse that they were high on leading into the Derby week, maybe another horse works well, or their horse doesn't ship as well or perform as well, or they get on the scene there at the Derby and they hear some information that changes their opinion, they can update it in that revised guide and in the updates. So there is an opportunity for all of our experts to alter what they, and generally there's not much altering going on. But as you say, Steve, most people stick with their original picks. But in case there's a defection from the race, or it gives an opportunity for the experts to add the most up-to-date information available.
Well, and we'll look forward to further thoughts, and particularly your approach and the way you lay it out is always, to me, is a, for those that you can look at old versions, but Johnny's hierarchy, basically, win candidates, exotic candidates, and horses that are eliminated from consideration, and leads us to a perfect question, Johnny, and I always ask you out this far in terms of preparation and your method of evaluation. We had a great conversation Friday with Ed DeRosa on this in terms of the, you know, the checklist and the approach and the ticket building elements. Run everybody through, you know, your process.
Well, I think my process along the way is, first, the foremost idea is, I think in this kind of race is, and especially this year, as you and Darren just talked about, and some of your other guests you've talked about, this is a rich year. We've got horses that can run this year. It's a very deep, contentious group. And right at the beginning, you have to understand you can't use everyone. You have to make decisions. You have to break some eggs. You have to say, look, I know this horse is unbeaten or untied and unscored upon, but I'm going to use him in the under slots. And then I want to hear reasons. Don't just say, I don't like that horse. Well, why don't you like the horse? What? You don't like his face? What don't you like about him? Give yourself some concrete reasons of why you want to the motor horse in your hierarchy. So you've got your win candidates. This is the way, actually the way I would look at it. You've got your win candidates, and that may be one, two, or three horses, but I don't think you should go much deeper than that. And if you could stay at one or two, do that. And then you've got your threats, your legitimate threats to win the race. And you may have, two or three of those. And then you have your exotics. So you really don't think they can win the race, but you think that they can maybe do some damage in the show and the fourth hole of the superfecta. So you kind of have those hit the board types in there, and then you have your horses that you're taking a stand against, that you don't think they're going to hit the board. You don't know what they're doing here. You don't want to use them at all. So if you can kind of build a hierarchy like that, it's going to make you feel better about approaching the race. And then if you want to, at some point, depending on how much you have to spend and how you approach it, you might take your second tier, your threats for the win, and maybe put them on top and drop your winners down and do it to the two hole, just in case. Because your third group, you're really thinking of those horses as exotic types. You're not giving them a chance to run first or second. You're thinking them mostly as third or fourth kinds of horses. Now, that gives you a good plan. You got to have a plan when you attack the Derby. And the reason I say it, why is it worth attacking at all? The mutual payoffs are incredible in this race. The superfecta, the trifecta, the exacta. The win is okay. Like, as Darren said, we've had five consecutive favorites win the race, but they're favorites. They're not 3-2. They're decent price favorites. And you should remember that we haven't had six consecutive favorites win this race since like 1892 or something. So there are a lot of trends from the 1800s that are going to have a tough time surviving this year. They all may be tied up in one horse, too, exactly.
For you, in terms of methodology, and we have a unique, we're in a unique era where virtually everybody, without even having to have subscriptions, whether it's with the website, like a Blood Horse has got a terrific replay center, and CalRacing.com and so forth and ExpressBet, and you know, you've got the ability to watch virtually every race that these horses have participated in. And then there's XBTV providing, I mean, even sending a crew to yesterday to Payson Park to tape Hofburg. I mean, that was above and beyond to get into Payson and give people a look at Hofburg. So we're in an era of technology and the video element being delivered into people's hands. And then you fold in the streaming of the, you know, these training sessions here. Once the horses get here, you've got the ability to really lay your eyes on the horses. And while, Johnny, it's an acquired understanding and expertise, the more you watch, the more you'll understand what you're looking at. And for people that aren't necessarily trip handicappers, at the same time, you can get a real feel for what is going to have to happen for the horses that you're interested in to succeed, whether they're a horse that's going to be on or near, or whether they're a horse that's going to need the pace to collapse for them to pick up a piece, depending on, you know, and how large a piece. Talk about that aspect in terms of making determinations about the horses and committing to them, you know, based on either what you've seen or what your traditional past performance approach tells you.
Yeah, you bring up excellent points, and certainly in this age of technology, we certainly have those at our disposal, and XBTV has done outstanding work. I know I'm part of the family, but they really have. They've brought us something that we didn't get to see much of before. They're not the first to do it, to cover workouts, but they are the first to do it to the extent that they're doing it, to the pains that they're going to bring us workouts. And you can watch not just the most recent workout, but if you want to go back and watch previous workouts, I want to say a horse like Justify, you can probably go back and see almost all of his workouts, because he was a star even before he ran. The word was out on this horse that he was special. So you can kind of get a feel and watch a horse develop. Now, is all of this, you say, well, I'm not an expert, I don't know what I'm looking for on workouts, and that is all easily understood, and you don't have to be. Just start watching these workouts, and as you become more familiar, you'll start to see the difference between a Justify workout and somebody else's workout. His Justify's recent workout at Santa Anita was phenomenal. I mean, I haven't heard any clockers or anybody talk about it, discuss it, but I watched it online, and I just had to shake my head. This is an incredible work. But he's worked like that most of the way. He's always been a good workhorse. But this one, oh, he was really reaching out and stretching out. So you have that access. Excuse me. Sometimes we had at this Triple Crown season, the workouts will deceive you. We had the famous audible workouts where he was being outworked, and the word was, well, he's not a very good workhorse. Well, his works weren't very good at all, and it was like, and then at the same time, you had I can't think of his name, Catholic Boy, who looked phenomenal. He was, I mean, just galloping. He looked great. He had his neck bowed. He looked, and they're meeting in the Florida Derby, and you know, you're going to take, based on what you saw, you're going to take Catholic Boy over Audible, and what happens? Catholic Boy bleeds. He's nowhere. Audible shows up, runs another outstanding race, wins the Florida Derby. So, look, nothing's foolproof in this game. Even when you go back and watch the races, as Steve mentioned, you know, you can start with a horse's first career race and work your way up. Don't go Don't go from the most recent back. My suggestion is to start his first career race and watch the development. Watch how he improves. Watch, you'll see him learning. You'll see him getting better. And he ought to be getting better as you move through the replays up until the current day. They ought to be improving. They ought to be getting faster. They ought to be getting stronger and bigger. And what to look for, I think a great point if you're watching replays, the other day with Good Magic on the first turn in the Bluegrass, he was in kind of a dicey spot. And he kind of got jostled around between horses, and he had to kind of find a location. And he finally got out of it. He extricated himself. He found a spot. And then he made some nice moves during the race. That versatility, mobility, flexibility, whatever you want to, that's going to be important in a race like the Kentucky Derby. So get a feel for each horse, what they can do, what they can't do. You know, if you look for a race where Justify has been in behind horses and has had to maneuver himself around and has been jostled, you won't find it because it hasn't happened to him. Nobody's got close enough to jostle him. So, you know, in that case, you'll just watch brilliance. But I think, Steve, in addition to helping your handicapping, and if you're not accustomed to looking at videotape or workouts or replays or whatever, it will enhance your enjoyment of the event. And this truly is an event. And the more replays you can watch, the more familiar you can get with certainly the headliners, you know, the five or six or seven who are getting all the press attention, the more you're going to appreciate the show and the event and the horses and the jockeys and the trainers, how they've developed these horses and how they've come along. And you'll see the brilliance of Justify will smack you in the face. You don't have to know about horse racing to watch this horse run and say, oh my, look what he's doing. You know, it's pretty obvious. So anyway, that's what I would suggest everyone do to enhance their enjoyment of this race.
Couple of thoughts, Johnny. Touched on it with Darren Rogers earlier, and some tendencies that you're watching, and as you, pending a draw next Tuesday, imagine the pace and, you know, some of the top line handicapping elements. This point, it's always good to have a feel, an expectation of what we might see pace wise, and who has got potentially some extra consideration, and you know who's going to be up against it. I mean, it's never too early to start, you know, trying to get a feel for, you know, the way they make the first turn and who's where, and then who's going to need, you know, what kind of a pace to be successful.
Yeah, I think earlier in the show when you talked about, you and Darren were talking about having several horses that look like they want to be close up, I think you're absolutely right on. I kind of said that a couple of weeks ago. I kind of thought, looking at this, you know what? There's not a bunch of speed, but there are some horses that want to be close up, and that could lead to a rapid pace because we have several contenders. Five or six who really want to be in the mix early, and it's going to get crowded. You know, everybody can't be there, you know. And if everybody does want to be there, somebody's going to be five or six wide and four or five or six wide into that first turn. And at that point, somebody might say, oh, well, I might as well go to get out of this jam. And so now you've got somebody, you know, putting pressure on Promises Fulfilled, and all of a sudden, you know, you've got maybe two or three that are up on the lead that you didn't kind of anticipate. So, yeah, I think You know, there's a chance that this thing could get heated up early. The other thing you just mentioned is force handicapping factors. When this is an unusual year, I think, because we have five or six legitimate contenders, and if they won, you really wouldn't say, "Oh my God!" You know, you'd say, "Yeah, I get it." So when that's the case, and you're drawing 20 post positions, you've got five or six. Let's say you've got six live ones, and you've got 20 post positions. Statistically, some of those six are probably going to end up very unhappy at the end of the draw, because you're not, most years you're talking about one or two that you're really, you know, really honed in on, or maybe three, and the chances of them, of those three getting a bad post, are not great. But when you've got five or six that really look like they can win the race, these poor post positions are going to come into play. And anything on the real inside, like three in, or the real outside, look, you can win from anywhere except the 17 hole. No one's won from there yet. You can win from almost anywhere, but some places are better than others to start. For example, Justify. If he were to draw outside, show his speed, be clear, get a position in the first turn, he's not going to get any dirt in his face. He probably won't get jostled. He's probably going to have a very nice trip. And in that case, he can certainly win the Kentucky Derby. However, should he draw inside, in the mosh pit that becomes the first turn, if he breaks a little slowly, if he breaks a step or two slowly, which in his first two starts he didn't leave there running, he did leave there running his last race, and Bob Backford, usually his horses leave there running. That's something he does well. But if he should not leave there running, he is going to experience an entirely different world than he's ever seen before. He's going to get dirt, a lot of dirt in his face for the first time. He's going to be bumped, jostled. And with that big, long stride, it's going to be really difficult. I mean, it's going to be a challenge for him to overcome all that and win the Kentucky Derby. So, you know, the post position draw is going to matter. And that's just one horse. If you looked at each one and you analyze where they need to be, how can this horse win, is a good question for you to ask yourself. How do you see him? How does the race have to go for him to win? And then the second part of the question is, what are the chances that he will get that kind of trip? You know, the one you've laid out that he needs to win, what are the chances he'll get that? If Justify draws 16, 15, 14, and no speed outside of him, and he's able to leave there and stalk, he's going to be really tough. He draws it inside. Ooh, now you got to leave there running. You got to maybe, you know how they all come down? They all from the outside down to the rail, they all, as they get to the first turn, they all, it's like a thundering herd just moving, you know, 10 paths down toward the rail. You've got to either be up in there, or he's going to experience something he's never experienced before, and that's never a good thing. So those are that's how I answer your question.
When you've had scores, and we've certainly over the years have talked about the way you and Will Schwartz approach it with the seven horse superfecta box. But when you look back, what have been the most successful formation of opinions in terms of keying off a single horse as a winner, or coming up with two or three horses that you know are at the center of your wager, and then feathering in horses depending on which kind of pace scenario you eventually determined the race was going to have?
Both.
Both? That's fair.
Both. That's kind of a crazy answer to your question, but it's true. Originally, when you first start, you know, some people would say, oh, the seven horse super stuck the box. That's insane. That's stupid. That's, you know, that's a crazy way to bet. Yet, look, you're right, but it's worked for us, so we're going to keep doing it. And the theory behind that, and we've been doing this now probably 15 years, the original theory behind it was back when the favorites didn't win the Kentucky Derby every year like they had for the last 5 years. So the reasoning was, look, I don't want to have, when the race is over, I don't want to be sitting there with a 30-to-1 shot that we liked enough to put in the ticket, winning the race, and us not having the super fight. So I don't want that aggravation. So I take that out of the mix, and we give ourselves total upside. There's, you know, and the downside is, guess what? I think it costs, I don't know, it's $8.50 something. I don't know what it is exactly.
$8.50
something like that. Yeah, something like
840.
That. So, all right. So, if the favorites run 1, 2, 3, 4, what's the Kentucky Derby Super Sector going to pay for a ballot? They're going to pay more than 840.
Well, we had that. We had that. Yeah. Was it last year or the year before?
Yeah. So, if you use the if the top four choices happen to be in your seven horse box, you're going to break even. You're actually going to make a little money if the favorites are on 1, 2, 3, 4. So, but the upside is, if one of your launch, if you happen to be right about one of your launch shots, you know, it's going to be huge. So that's the way we take out all the structuring, all the worrying. We concentrate on the seven horses. And then the bottom line is, if you don't have the first four in your seven horses, you missed the race. You know, you were wrong. I can take that. I've been wrong before. So that's why we feel like, now you ask me, how do we do it? Do we do it beforehand? The Ruler on Ice Belmont Stakes, I noticed that day it had rained, the track was sealed, it was kind of sticky and gooey, and a lot of kickback, and speed was doing very well. And I kind of, you know, I said to Will, you know what? I think speed's going to do really well in this race, the way the track's playing. And I think it was Animal Kingdom that year. I don't think he's going to like this. He's never seen it before. And so we put in a ticket and threw out Animal Kingdom. And they went around the track pretty much in that order for the mile and a half of the Belmont. And we cashed a huge super factor that day. And that was, as you say, that was something that was a last minute kind of, this is how the track's playing today. Let's do this. So it goes both ways. You know, it's the planning. And then, you know what else I've noticed? It's good to work with someone else because their angles and their opinions, especially if you respect their opinion, and I respect Will's opinion, very, very smart guy. It's good to work with someone else because they see something you didn't. They read, you know, PP lines differently than you have. And we'll go horse by horse through the entire race and, you know, discuss back and forth and come up with our seven horses. But I can tell you the success comes when he's picked his horses and I've picked mine, and then we debate. That's the way it's worked out. And what I'm saying is, if I do it myself, I may not have it. I probably don't have it. But if he does it by himself, he probably doesn't have it. But together, we complement each other, and we've been able to have some scores.
Well, that score in particular, 37,026 dollars for a buck, when it came to Ruler on Ice, who was 25-1. Stay Thirsty, 16-1, 11-1 for Brilliant Speed, and 5-1 for Nairo. And, of course, Shackelford had set the pace, and the distance was out of his scope. And Animal Kingdom, there was also the trouble out of the gate, too, if you might recall.
Hey, sometimes you got to get lucky, too.
Yeah, well, whatever. He was further back. I mean, he was 12th after a half and never, you know, he wasn't close. You had Ruler on Ice was second after a half mile. Stay Thirsty was third, and Nairo was fifth. Brilliant Speed was the only horse that closed any ground at all.
And he was my key horse. I actually wagered on him to win. He was a decent price.
11-1.
Yeah, I wagered on him to win. I thought he'd win the race. So he was my. So there's a case where, you know, he was my key horse. Had I done things around him, maybe I don't have him in the third spot. Maybe I only put him first, second, and you know what I mean. So that's why I like the box. If you can do it, if it's a lot of money, I understand. But if you got a partner, you know, it's not crazy.
Well, and then 2 years ago, when you did have the first four betting choices finish first, second, third, and fourth in order, Nyquist, Exaggerator, Gunrunner, and Mohamed, 5-2, 5-1, 10-1, 12-1, the dollar super paid $542. So you guys lost $300 on the bet, but it would have only taken maybe. I mean, who knows? Sudden breaking news at 25-1, if he was on your ticket, or Destin at 18-1. Brody's Cause was, you know, they were fifth, sixth, seventh.
Yeah, and to tell you the truth, I don't think we had that one.
Oh, interesting. Because, okay.
Yeah, I don't think sudden breaking news, I remember, was one of my favorite
tosses.
I don't think we had that one. Yeah. Well, all because right, so. we like to take some shots. We like to put some, you know. I mean, you know, we like to put a little mix in there, and you know, last year it was Looking at Lee, wasn't it? Wasn't that last year?
Yes, you were on Looking at Lee, and you made money for people coast to coast that latched on.
Yeah.
All through the entire lead up, and you kept talking about him as your kind of horse to clunk up, and it worked for it helped a lot of people when he landed at 33-1.
Yeah, I haven't seen that kind of horse this year. I don't know why, but I mean, obviously my boy Jack has got that kind of look to him.
But you know what's funny?
Lone Sailor's got a little bit of that kind of look to him. I don't know if he's good enough. There are a couple of them. I think Hofberg, you know, he's kind of a wise guy horse at this point, but certainly he could, you know, but I'm struggling to find that. I don't have that horse.
I'll tell you why it is. It feels like the horses that have been coming off the pace, Johnny, in the prep season haven't been finishing. They've been ranging up, looking like they're getting into contention, and then flattening out, which has been, and certainly Combatant is one of those candidates on that front. You know, a horse that everybody was waiting for him to get to a mile and an eighth, and he's been absolutely punchless late. I mean, certainly at Oaklawn last week, when he started to move, it looked like, you know, he was going to be around at the end and maybe get involved. And one after another, the horses like